prepare yourself for a physical therapy conference that will deliver a PT education hangover of epic proportions. Because we're going to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas!
This October, PT Pintcast presents the Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
3 days of learning, networking, and, well, probably some good old-fashioned Las Vegas-style fun. With presentations by APTA President Sharon Dunn, State Chapter Presidents Chris Powers of California, John Hike of Arizona, and RJ Williams from Nevada. With your keynote presentation by Tim Flynn, focus talks on telehealth, medical marijuana, and motivational interviewing. Okay, just so we're clear, that's three different talks. We're not mixing medical marijuana with telehealth and motivational interviewing. Well, not yet, anyway. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at ptpintcast.com. Want to win your way in? Enter to win free tickets at ptpintcast.com. The Tri-State Physical Therapy Conference, October 11th to the 13th. What happens in Vegas? Well, you know how this ends.
Continually challenging yourself as to how you can grow. I think that's very, very cliche a little bit, but trying to find ways in which you can think differently. I think there's a lot of people out there who will look outside of the physical therapy space for ways in which they can change the profession. And I think those are the people who we need to find a little bit more. I think the more that you think and touch on things that are outside of PT, the more you're going to be able to take successful things from outside of our space and ideally continue to be a part of changing the conversation within our profession.
Got a chance to talk to the owner and CEO of Rehab to Perform. He's a PT named Josh Funk, multi-sport athlete growing up in a big family, played lacrosse at Ohio State before becoming a PT. We really got into how to create a community-facing business as a physical therapist, internships and shadowing programs at his clinic that can actually lead to opportunities in and outside that business, plus insurance and cash PT considerations. Really liked having Josh on the show. He was highly recommended from a guy by the name of Doug Kachigian, who's no stranger to the program. Take a listen to the show. It is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction, rehabilitation training, and the equipment you need to apply it. Plus, you need research? Johnny Owens is a part of creating it, and he'll share it to you. So check him out online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. On the show today, Josh Funk. He's the founder of Rehab to Perform. He's a physical therapist and a community connector is what he calls himself. Josh, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. And a big thank you to Doug Kachigian for making the intro.
Yeah. Doug is a friend of a show, been on before, able to have a couple drinks with him. And he reached out. When that guy talks, I pay attention because he's somebody that I follow along online, got his own podcast and just a smart dude. And he said, hey, man, you got to talk to Josh Funk. So, you know, no pressure, dude. You got to live up to that.
I appreciate that. I have known Doug for, gosh, I'm trying to think, probably about 6 years now, has been very, very influential on me clinically. And I'm always watching to see what he's doing. I think he's somebody who's always has a pulse.
Questioning
on what is going on in our profession.
Yeah, he's always questioning stuff, and I like people who do that. And he does it in a really respectful way. Again, Doug's background, you should listen to that episode. It's in our library. Doug was an Air Force para jumper. He was a PJ and then became a physical therapist. And he suggested to you, Josh, what's your story? I know you were a former athlete at Ohio State. What'd you play, and then how'd you wind up in PT?
Yeah, I played lacrosse at Ohio State. Originally grew up in Maryland. You know, big family, multi-sport background. And ended up at Ohio State there, and I hurt my shoulder my sophomore year, much like a lot of people who are in the profession, and just really became enamored with it. I had originally thought that I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon and really enjoyed the relational aspect of physical therapy while I was going through it myself. Fortunately, was able to avoid surgery for a torn labrum and torn rotator cuff. And after that, I mean, it took my interest in sports, interest in fitness, somebody who maybe, you know, more of a self-proclaimed extrovert who really enjoys connecting with people and the relationship side of things, made it a very, very natural fit for me.
That's cool.
After that, yeah, I went to University of Maryland, Baltimore, for PT school and worked for about 3 years before starting up Rehab to Perform in late 2014.
Briefly describe that model. It's a little bit different. I kind of looked it up, and hearing it in text is one way, but hearing it from the person who founded it is completely different. Like, what makes it different from other models? I know one of the spark reasons that you kind of created it was your experience going through PT, as you mentioned, as an athlete at Ohio State.
Yes, I think when I was a new grad and in those first couple of years, I was a little bit underwhelmed with what the options were with regard to physical therapy. I thought it was very, very medicalized. It looked very, very different from what I enjoyed being an athlete at Ohio State. You've got the open treatment tables. You've got the weights right there. You've got constant communication from all of the different professionals with regards to transitioning somebody from the rehabilitation side to fitness and performance. So for us, really putting on a product, first of all, from an environment standpoint, that looks very, very different. You know, when you walk in, you're not thinking medical. You're automatically thinking fitness and movement, which I the profession is going more and more in the direction of focusing on movement, focusing on the movement system, being the experts of movement, however we want to coin that. But starting with the environment, you know, when people walk in, it is a little bit more open than people would be like. No private treatment rooms. A little bit more social. Our first office, people would always say, hey, this is kind of like a Cheers type medical environment. Where people would come in and there's, they're connecting either about their injuries or people that they know or asking questions about what another person is going through. Or, hey, we're talking about the NBA finals or whatever might be going on outside of the world. So there's a lot of friendships and relationships that are formed by proximity and openness, maybe a little bit more of a transparent environment. And then on top of that, having professionals who are equally as passionate about the fitness side of things as they are being that first point of contact from a rehab world standpoint. So having people that either have some kind of strength coach background, some kind of personal training background, we will tell people that, the environment that we have is a mix of personal training in there. You know, we get to see people for one-to-one, 25 to 30 minutes, usually setting them up to extend their session a little bit with regards to circuits, focusing on either competency and or some capacities in which we think are valuable to them. So having people who are comfortable with the fitness end of the spectrum in a world where a lot of PT schools are very, very underwhelming when it comes to therapeutic exercise or just fitness education in general, that's been critical to us offering the service that we're looking to provide people. Which is one that really, really does a good job of preparing them for life outside of our doors.
Josh, real quick, just so people can follow up, I always want to give a plug to the website. Where can people go and check out Rehab to Perform online?
Absolutely. Rehab2perform.com, and that is the number 2.
Cool. A lot of new grads I've seen. I mean, I graduated in 16, so not that long ago. A lot of new grads thinking about doing something similar, going out on their own a lot faster than maybe their predecessors are, and we're seeing more and more of that. You got the 3 C's that all new grads need to prioritize. What are they? And then go into each one just a little bit to put it in context for some new grads, maybe some students listening.
Absolutely. I think the 3 C's are essential for anybody who wants to go out and do their own thing, either as an entrepreneur or say somebody who's a little bit more entrepreneurial. And for those of you who don't know, you can be entrepreneurial within a business. You might be somebody who gets early into a business and maybe you end up getting into certain roles where there is some kind of financial incentive. Maybe you didn't have to take the early risk that entrepreneur did, but you still could have some significant incentives that could benefit you. But nonetheless, back to the 3 C's, social capital is something that was very, very important for me getting started. People have to know who you are first. And I really prioritize that because if you want to run a business and people don't know who you are, it really doesn't matter how good you are at your craft. That connectivity to the community, you mentioned earlier, I take a lot of pride in just being connected to multiple aspects of the community, but that social capital is critical. Okay. To anybody who is thinking about starting a business, then you need to really prioritize on your intellectual capital. It's one thing to know a lot of people, but you also have to bring a high level service along with that, because regardless of whether or not you're connecting with people, getting them in the doors, the service needs to speak for itself. And then something that just kind of sits in the background, but it is a big piece, especially for a lot of PT school students who are leaving school with a lot of debt. But your financial capital, that's something that's equally as important. You know, there's a perfect relationship there with whether or not it really makes sense for you to be able to take that risk in terms of what you have access to financially or where you're at presently.
Yeah, it's capital. You know, and I agree with those. Yeah. We just did the Oxford debate at APTA's next conference, and it was about social media. And I put up a graph on the screen, something called the Kardashian Index. Are you familiar with this at all?
A little bit, and so, I caught a little bit of that stuff on social media. saw Gene Chirac-Abrod and Ben Fung posting about it a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I would love to hear a little bit more about it.
Super brief. I mean, even someone like me can follow along. The Kardashian Index kind of goes into what you were just talking about. So it really graphs out. A scientist developed this in the UK because he saw a lot of what he called social media Kardashians within the world of science. So you've got people like Kim Kardashian, who's famous for being famous, right? So they just have a bunch of connections, but they don't bring that value piece, which was your second C. So yeah, you could know a lot of people, and that's great, but what are you going to do with it? So I charted the Kim Kardashian. That's high on the high on the connections, but low on the value. And then I charted Stephen Hawking, which of course he brought a lot of value before he passed away, but you know he didn't tweet much. So there's a mix in there that you need. You need that kind of sweet spot of, yes, you are connected in many facets of your community and your profession, but you also need to bring that value as well. So we had a little fun with the K index, but if you think about it, you know, it was pretty legit. And I liked how that point landed pretty well with the audience at Next. And I think it rings true. And I like how it's incorporated within your first three C's.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, considering that, and I think we've all heard the at least the phrase, you know, it's about who you know, but more importantly, it's about who knows you, what you do, and how you solve their problem.
Yeah, bingo.
So you've got the connectivity piece, but then you have the value add piece that goes along with what you do and how you solve their problems. And it's not to, you know, and I'll go on a short little tangent here. And I think we're seeing a big push towards social media. Social media is extremely positive, but I do think one of the things that makes sure that a business and somebody wants to go into business rock solid, at least in terms of brick and mortar and delivering an in-person service, is connectivity outside of social media. I think that social media does a great job of reinforcing some of the relationships that maybe you built in the community, but I do think that a lot more people need to be focusing on getting out involved in their local community to make sure that they are reaching people that really, really need their problem solved, so to speak.
Yeah, IRL, man, in real life. I think social media...
Hey, I love that.
I think social media does a really great job. In radio, the term was tips and tails. The beginning and the end. It can start a great relationship, and it can continue that relationship. But in the middle, there's got to be something... You know, that you get off of social media, because as I mentioned in that Oxford debate, it's a filter, right? Social media is the medium by which your message goes through, and the same when that message comes back. So you've got to navigate that, and our brains are wired for conversation, which is why I think this show actually spreads, is because I want to be conversational, because I think that's how we're wired to give and take information.
I agree, and I think the only thing that we're missing that I would say that I think it's very, very important, but there's nothing better than getting in front of somebody, looking them in the eye, shaking their hand, giving them a smile, and engaging with them. And we can get a lot of that from this conversation right here, definitely more so than just typing back and forth.
Yes.
But at least for what has worked with us, prioritizing how we develop and maintain relationships in different areas in the community has been important to us. You know, not only growing as a business, but serving a greater number of people and really, really being impactful.
All right, real quick, I do want to bring this up. You had really five targets that Rehab to Perform, you know, kind of focused on in your community. Talk about those five targets, because I think people should pay attention to them, whether you're an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur, either way.
Yes. So this is the side of things where we get a little bit more into marketing specifically. We could talk about inbound marketing, which is more of the social media, SEO side of things. And then we could get more into outbound marketing. That is more of the in-person, you know, relationship side of things. We are getting out in front of people. And I'll speak to the five areas or five hubs in which we have certain initiatives. And that is the medical community, the fitness community, local business community, youth sports, and the schools. And by having different initiatives in each of those five areas, we are going after people who we feel like would be our ideal customers, and then also doing what we can to just either be connected or to deliver value outside of just a physical therapy service in each of those different areas. Yeah. So we are continually refining that, but by focusing on those five areas, it's really allowed us to have multiple different touch points in which we are being impactful and meeting people in the community who we work well with and ideally are our ideal clients.
I like that. So we got the three C's, and then you follow up with the five targets. The model, though, you've been outspoken in talking about why you're not really buying into this, you know, cash PT hype online. You know, first, kind of really define what cash PT is, because I think some people were going back and forth and saying, listen, it isn't necessarily a model, right? This is just how, this is how, you know, payment is transacted. So talk a little bit about what, how you describe the cash PT hype, and then talking about why you're not buying into it.
I think what I will say here, and I have a lot of friends who are in this space, what I will say is, just because somebody is utilizing a fee-for-service, right, or cash-focused model,
right,
does not necessarily mean that there is a higher level of service being delivered.
Okay.
So I think for us, getting more into metrics will allow the consumer to better rationalize why they might want to go out of pocket, so whether or not that stuff like net promoter score or outcomes measures or, you know, satisfaction scores, goals met, those could all be rated by clients. But I think when I look at different models that people are utilizing, at the end of the day, we still need to put metrics in front of consumers that allow them to determine whether or not one of these models, or really it's just going to be different businesses, is going to be a better fit for them.
Right.
That is making it more consumer focused. I think we're moving away from this situation just because of our access to information where people are clueless walking into a medical environment. I mean, they can go figure out reviews, hopefully one day find out more and more and more through whether or not it's different insurance portals or reaching out to companies. Maybe there's end of year reports where you're putting all of your information out. You're saying, hey, here's how we did with people with regards to low back pain or shoulder related issues or, you know, ACL rehab, and really doing what we can to put metrics in front of the consumer that allows the decision-making process to be less about cash versus insurance and more just about the value and the outcomes that are being provided by that particular business. So
yeah,
that was more what I meant. It wasn't necessarily a knock on all cash PT, but I think sometimes people have this perception that they're automatically going to be able to deliver more value just
yeah,
because I'm going out of pocket and I'm delivering an hour service.
Well, it's a hashtag
yeah,
now, right? So people just assume, right, since I'm paying for it and I'm worth, you know, you see chatter online in Facebook groups and, you know, on Twitter, both which are hazardous, by the way, that how much should I charge? Well, the question is, well, how, I think what you're saying is, ignore that question first. What are you delivering? Like, what are you actually delivering? Not what does it look like? More, what are you getting? Not what you're getting out of it, more what the client or the patients are getting out of it.
I agree. And that's where, you know, businesses start to focus more on what an average course of care looks like, what those outcome measures are, and they start to be able to benchmark companies a little bit more based on metrics. That decision is going to be less about cash versus insurance and more about, all right, well, I'm going here because it looks like if I look at an average course of care here for 9 visits, I'm going to pay less potentially here and maybe have more value. So
yeah,
where's that swing going to be? But
yeah,
I don't want to speak down about any particular situation with regards to one versus the other, but I think there are positives to both. And I don't think that, at least in my particular situation, I'm enjoying being able to provide a higher level service to a wide variety of different people. And I think I've heard enough from people say, oh, well, it shouldn't, you know, limit access to care. Like it or not, people with bigger pockets are more likely to spend money out of pocket on healthcare.
Yeah.
That is what it is. So maybe it's a personal philosophy that I have, that I want to make sure that we are providing a high level care in the physical therapy space to as many people as possible. And I want to force other companies to look at how they do things differently and to honestly raise the standards a little bit. So, you know, you look at a lot of the insurance-based PT places that are doing well, and you've got private equity jumping into our profession. You've got hospital groups buying up more and more POTS-oriented clinics. And you are seeing a little bit of more of an emphasis on finances rather than service. And yeah, is it going to potentially make it more challenging from a financial standpoint to potentially only choose to see two people an hour? Yes. But are you going to be able to deliver a higher level service, better outcomes, and potentially better word of mouth? Absolutely. And so we're in a space where it's this balancing act between the service and the financial side of the business. But I think too often from a PT standpoint, when you talk about insurance, people are strictly looking at dollars and numbers. And I don't think that's the best way to do things. And I don't think that's the best way to continue to show that our profession is valuable. And when we talk about reimbursement from an insurance standpoint, definitely not proving that your service is something that warrants more reimbursement.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials, at ptpinecast.
Love working with these guys. I've been talking about our longtime supporters of the show, Arius Medical Group. They find PTs jobs. That's it. That's what they do. Isn't that awesome? It's so great when you can just say one sentence about what an organization does. I've been working with Arius. They've been supporting the show since the show went on the air. And quite simply, they find physical therapist jobs where you want to do it. Travel PT. Check them out online. All right. Travel PT is the thing. You want to do summers by the beach. You want to do winters somewhere near a ski hill. You can do that. All right. It's called a license to practice physical therapy because you can go anywhere you want. And Arius proves that. Been doing this for 2 decades, finding physical therapist jobs where you want to go. Short-term assignments. Maybe you want to test a place out first. Long-term assignments. If you love something, stick there. Arius has you covered. AURIUSmedical.com. They're the leaders in travel PT. Again, check out what they have to offer. No obligation. AURIUSmedical.com. Love those guys.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Want to thank Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning, offering residencies, fellowship education, orthopedics, women's health, geriatrics, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports. That's an overview of their residencies. Check out what they have to offer at brooksihl.org. World-class educational opportunities to the local and regional community. Check them out, brooksihl.org.
Back.
Let's get back to the show.
Last thing we'll get into, why metrics and benchmarks matter. I mean, you're talking about being able to prove why coming to you is better for what you're looking for, which is a return to or an improvement on whatever a physical therapist can help you with. But metrics and benchmarks, why do they matter to you guys and how are you putting them into play?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably a potentially longer conversation. But, you know, I mentioned earlier, more consumer-focused in a world that we're living in, the access to information, it's allowing people to make better decisions with regards to their level of care because of the access to information that they have. But I think a big thing for us with regards to metrics and benchmarking is accountability internally. It allows us to really check ourselves. It's one thing to say that we're offering better care or, you know, doing a great job with X, Y, and Z, but, you know, if 8 of our PTs are here and 4 aren't here, how do we make sure that there's as little variance as possible? How do you make sure that as we grow, that we're not losing the same quality that has allowed us to grow? So I think that the benchmarking and metrics are equally as important to get in front of the consumer as they are to get out in front of your team in order to facilitate either growth of each individual, growth potentially for a location, maybe growth for, an area of the body. But there could be situations where that internal benchmarking and the use of metrics allows you to deliver a better service, as long as you're willing to focus on those and figure out why your numbers might not be what you'd like them to be.
Excellent. You ready for 3 questions, Josh?
I'm ready.
On the hot seat with 3 questions on the PT Pinecast.
3 questions brought to you by our friends from Arius Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy. Question one, if you could go anywhere in the 50 U.S. states and be a PT either for a short-term assignment like 13 weeks, or if you want to relocate, where would you go?
I would probably go to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. Surfing is probably one of the best things that I can do to just disconnect from anything else. And it's just somewhere I've always wanted to go.
Can't knock Hawaii. Always a good decision. Second question, what's something you've read, watched, downloaded, listened to that really inspired you? I asked this question to kind of add to my watch or reading list or listening to list.
I think for me, with regards to, I don't know about, I don't know if they, I'm gonna preface that conversation with something that I will say. I don't need a ton of motivation. I don't need a ton of inspiration. It's not something that I necessarily seek out with regards to education or anything along those lines. But I will say that something that I got exposed to recently that has definitely made me think differently about coaching, which I still do from a lacrosse standpoint in the community, and interacting with young people is the book, What Made Maddie Run. It just, quite honestly, is a young lady who unfortunately took her own life, but it's talking about all of the different things going on in young people's lives nowadays, what we're managing from an online space standpoint, managing in terms of external expectations, and really allowed me to kind of see a different side of things, especially as, you know, either a business owner with a pretty significant mentorship program where we have DPTs, college students and high school students, and then somebody that's also involved in the youth athletic scene, has a good relationship with a lot of the area coaches. But it's just kind of put me in a position where I'm seeing things a little bit differently and gave me an appreciation for why maybe I need to have certain conversations or bring to light certain issues that maybe wouldn't normally get talked about with young people.
Love so, it. Yeah. What made Maddie run?
Not to change the conversation, but, you know, a lot of successful people, I would say, probably don't need a lot of motivation and inspiration. But
yeah. Okay. Last question is a question about a person, who's someone the audience should know more about? Maybe someone who has a lot of value, as we talked about in those C's, but doesn't have all those connections just yet. Who's someone the audience should seek out because they have so much value to bring to the PT profession?
I think somebody that's been absolutely killing it, and I'll just bring up two people. Zach Baker has been my right-hand man since I started this thing. Actually convinced him to quit his job. I gave him 3 months of his salary up front, just guaranteed. And he's a great guy with regards to ACL rehabilitation. He's getting involved in Wesley Wang's new online platform with regards to education on ACL rehab. But a big shout out to Jared Boyd. He's doing an exceptional job on his Instagram platform in terms of educating, you know, clinicians. And I think he's doing a good job having some challenging conversations, as well as not necessarily telling people what to do, but creating an environment where they're understanding better how he thinks. I think he's going to be somebody who, as his career continues to evolve, is going to be one of the major thought leaders in our profession. That would be Dr. J. Fit Boyd. He's just been somebody, he's been my left-hand man, Zach's been my right-hand man, and they've both been extremely impactful people to me. And I think both of them, you're going to continue to see getting more and more involved in the professional community, and two people that I think more people should get in touch with.
Like it. Last thing we do on the show, Josh, is your parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
It's brought to you by our friends from Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, they're a movement company. They've also got their Rock Stock celebration going on out at Huntington Beach, California. This is 2 days of learning and movement, September 13th and 14th. Check out rocktape.com/medical for more information. Your parting shot is the last sentiment, the last thought you want to leave with the audience as they go forward back to work.
I think for me, just continually challenging yourself as to how you can grow. I think that's very, very cliche a little bit, but trying to find ways in which you can think differently. I think there's a lot of people out there who will look outside of the physical therapy space for ways in which they can change the profession. And I think those are the people who we need to find a little bit more. I think the more that you think and touch on things that are outside of PT, the more you're going to be able to take successful things from outside of our space and ideally continue to be a part of changing the conversation within our profession.
Sounds good. Find him online at Rehab2Perform, and that's the number 2 for Twitter and for the website. Josh Funk is also at Josh_Funk. Appreciate you taking some time out. I have a feeling we're going to have you back on the show again soon to get a little deeper in some of those convos.
I would appreciate that very much. And yeah, I mean, definitely looking forward to connecting. Anybody who's out there who wants to reach out, you can either reach out to me at Instagram at @DrJoshFunk, pretty involved there, or DrFunk@rehab2perform.com. As I mentioned, for students out there, we have a pretty good internship program, opportunities at 3, soon to be 4 locations for college students and DPT students. So that's something we're very, very passionate about. We have the ability to change a profession by providing people with very, very good clinical affiliations that ideally help change their trajectory and give them new insight into what their profession could look like.
Josh, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for hopping on the phone and giving us an insight.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on here.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pintcast using me. Just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pintcast." Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, "Hey Alexa, launch PT Pintcast."
Maybe throw in a please at the end.